Okay, so if I could help someone make a bigger impact in the economy, get more sales for a business, get more sales for their own business, that's what I want to do. And I want to do that from wherever I am, just needing my laptop and an internet connection, because that's the way I could work best. I don't really want to do so much like, doing a million things for a business. When I was running my Amazon business, I was doing the sourcing, trying to figure out how to go up and down to my vendors, picking the stuff up, packing it, getting, it was very cash intense, doing the product research. I even went, I had to go to China to go find suppliers, and it's a whole other universe. So if I could focus on just helping other people, and me learning from others as well, and just bringing back what I've learned from them and putting it together to help more people, that's what I want to do. So that's kind of why I'm doing all this, to bring all these strategies to you. They're available, they're here. The Amazon thing, I actually was able to help someone launched some plates, and we did a plate launch, and now I didn't have to put up the money. She was the one that brought them in from China and did all that. I helped her with their listing, the photography, the strategy, everything, and we got them up and running on Amazon. I still made an impact. I made an impact on her business. I made an impact on the economy. She paid me. I learned that as well at the same time. So that's more what interests me. So if I can definitely help with some strategy, help some business, help some people trying to help business, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm gonna be doing this for. I'm, here. So, and I love learning new things, so gives me a reason to be out there seeing what's new, what's working, what's not working, doing some of my own experiments and talking to other people that are doing different things, learning from them what they're up to, and just meeting new people this way. Oh, works for me. I'm happy with it, and keeps me from having a normal 9-to-5 job. So at the end of the day, it is to keep myself with freedom to be able to do this. All right, so this is gonna close this one out. All right, so I had done a WordPress site just for fun before, so I was like, all right, let me try to set up a website. I did a WordPress site, and I used the WooCommerce plugin. I set all that up. I decided, oh, I'm gonna sell toys just because I like toys. It was, just fun. And I told myself one day, I was like, all right, I need to figure out how to find suppliers. I signed up with, what was that company called? Global Sources. Found some wholesale there. It was kind of a waste of money, I think. I mean, maybe I didn't know how to use it properly. I didn't find much in there that I liked, and yeah, maybe that was my fault. But and a lot of people probably already had those drop shippers, supposedly. And then I found out that in LA there was a place where you could go to a lot of brands and wholesalers in downtown. So I went down there. I told myself, all right, I'm gonna spend enough money to place my first wholesale order. And I went down there, and I found a place that sold puzzles. I liked them just because, it was in the toys and games category that I was interested in and working in, or selling my stuff. And I bought some Coca-Cola puzzles. I put in my order. It was about $300. About a week or two later, they get to my house. I, FedEx dropped them off. I had like three versions of three different puzzles, like a Coca-Cola can puzzle. That was a 3D puzzle, and then the other three puzzles were flat, three different styles. So there I had them. All right, so put them up on my website and just use the stock images and pad it up. And I was like, okay, sales, yeah. I did all the technical stuff. I have product. So I kind of worked a lot backwards, where I set up all the infrastructure first, but I had no idea how to get traffic. Absolutely no idea. I thought that if I just put up my website, that Google would crawl it and send people there. So that was kind of a very ignorant idea, I guess. So I did that. And then I kind of realized, okay, well, let's take a step back here and let's realize this isn't working. It's not going to work. What else could we do? So then I remember I had sold my textbooks in college on Amazon. And I told myself, well, let me check out Amazon. Maybe they'll let me sell other stuff. So I did. I went on Amazon and I was like, okay. So I opened up my Amazon account. Oh, you could sell stuff online. That's great. Nice. And so I went ahead, opened up my account, and I listed those puzzles there. And remember, you have to keep in mind, these puzzles were kind of big because they're puzzles. They're kind of a big box. So shipping was not going to be cheap, but I went ahead and listed it, and I figured, okay, Amazon credits you for shipping. It should all just be fine. Okay, yeah, let me list them. So I put them up, and then I said, oh, hey, you know what? What if I could sell other stuff? Okay, so there was a Mexican candy store by my house that had recently opened. It did a wholesale. So I said, all right, you know what? Let me go check out this candy that they have. You know, I grew up on Mexican candy, you know, the mango, chili, paletas, in English they're called suckers, I guess. So I listed some of those, I listed some chocolates, and I put them up on Amazon. I got my first order. One of my first orders was for the chocolate. The chocolate was kind of big. The shipping ended up being like $12. I sold them for about $21. I think I got them for $8. The point is, the math didn't make sense because I lost money on because of the shipping. But I had learned the platform. I had figured out, okay, yeah, you could put up stuff. Amazon has traffic. People want this stuff and they'll pay for it. Let me just figure out something else to sell and price it right. So, you know, went back and listed some other candy. And then I was a little frustrated with the shipping. But I kept seeing every time I would log into my Amazon account, it would tell me FBA, FBA, FBA. And I was like, what is this FBA? So I finally clicked on it. Still didn't get it. Kind of gave me a breakdown, reading, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, this seems kind of weird. And then after that, I went on YouTube, checked out some YouTube videos, and I found one by Kat Simpson. She had a good video on this. So I still remember, I think it was like 2 a.m, I was watching it. And it basically said, you get your products, you ship them into an Amazon warehouse, and then they're available to Amazon's Prime customers, which are apparently Amazon's most loyal customers and the ones that don't mind paying extra. So the next morning I woke up and I said, okay, no matter what, I'm going to ship off these puzzles to Amazon, to the FBA program, set up my account. And I did exactly that. And we sent them out, went through all the instructions, watched the YouTube videos. And I still remember that day struggling to organize the puzzles, just being very, I was very, you know, stressed that I had to do it perfect. I didn't want to, because she said that you get one account per lifetime and they track your IP and you can't make another one if you screw something up. So, you know, that video made me a little nervous. If the video's still live, I'm going to link it down below so you guys can watch it. And, but yeah, I'm going to put that in the notes. They made me send the puzzles to 3 different warehouses, and there I was sorting them all out, putting some in the box to a warehouse in California, the warehouse somewhere in Tennessee, and one in Texas. is to remember the codes. We have ONT8, which was California. Tennessee was Chattanooga or something. And I forgot where Texas was, but I was there sorting up my puzzles, and one of my friends, he comes and shuffles them around, and I was very frustrated. I was like, ah, it was annoying. But, you know, the first one's the hardest. That's kind of the lesson I learned off that one. All my other shipments were pretty much got a lot easier after that. The first one is just kind of like you're trying to figure everything out, you're stressed, but, you know, make it over that hill and you'll get it. So that's part of where I learned some of the stuff, and I think it's valuable to share, and, you know, just my experience. You know, this is kind of a little thing that I've kind of summarized what I've learned into is learn the platform, even if it costs you, who cares. Know your numbers, you know, what your fees are. You're gonna figure that out as you learn the platform. So you know the fees, know what all that is, your shipping and all that. You figure, calculate a document to keep track of all that, so you keep adjusting. And then the third part would definitely be understand why customers are buying or taking action on whatever service you're selling. You know, what's their need? What are their struggles? How are you helping them? Why are they choosing this offer? You know, like for the candy example, the Mexican candy, I was realizing I was getting a lot of orders from the military bases. And then I also realized I was getting a lot of orders outside of California. And then I would actually be able to see the customer notes that when people give something as a gift. And I was actually like reading them, me being nosy, checking them out. And they would say stuff like, oh, you know, your favorite candy from back home. Just telling them to remind them of better times or you know, their memories from childhood that they probably can't get wherever they are. So people would send them to them, or they, so I was like, okay, so the reason people are buying this stuff is because they just don't have access to it where they are. And the same thing with the military bases. I got a lot from Japan and Germany. Germany probably by far took the winning number there. And then in the States, Texas got a lot, which actually was kind of weird to me because I thought Texas would have easy access to it. But I'm sure if I go into the data and break it down, it was probably out in smaller cities and not in the main cities. You know, sometimes people just don't have the time to be going down to go to a store far, like, you know, a few miles away. So they just have more money than time and just order it online. So that's something I learned off that. So just something to keep in mind. And then I also, learning the platform, you start getting a rhythm for the sales. Like, I could honestly tell you, feedback is very important on Amazon. And probably for about every 125 orders I would get, one feedback. And I knew, and that number just stuck. That's what it was. And that was me putting in messages, asking people for feedback. And Amazon had some automated stuff where on some products they would do it. I don't think they do it on all. I know they do it on books for sure. But I was sending out emails asking for feedback. And yeah, like the eBay customer, we also have sold on eBay, and the eBay customer gives you feedback on pretty much every order. So two different types of customers, so that's the importance also of knowing your platform. And also Amazon has another number called Best Sales Rank. One of the main things I was selling was some chips, and those had a sales rank that would stay around 5,000. And I knew that meant, with the level of competition that I had, I think I was against like three sellers maybe that we were actually competing each other. I was able to get, let me think of this number, I was pretty much able to get about 5 orders a day on that, I believe. I'll change that in the notes if it's not right, but I'm pretty sure that is the number. And that was for the grocery category. Every category has its, you got a different rhythm for it. So, and then another thing I've learned is when you take on different products, there's a theory, I'm not sure who this is, says it, but for every new SKU, which means a stock keeper unit, just in lingo talk, every new product you have, at least in a retail business, you add 13 layers of complexity. And here's why. You need to store the item. The seasonality is gonna change for that item. You're gonna have to different vendors, different pricing strategy, different customer. So, you know what? If you figure out a niche you want to stick in, that's way better, because I was selling toys and candy mostly, and I would try to jump around into some other stuff. But yeah, like I would do some media also, in some books that I would get from the thrift store, and also did some clothes on eBay. And all that stuff needs to be handled different. Like, for example, clothes for eBay, and you get hangers and take photography a little bit different if you're going to do photography. And then the candy, there was already some stock photography that I would just use that was already in the catalog. So, you know, if you can, at least as soon as possible, try to niche down into something so that you're not jumping around trying to be the next Walmart or the next Target. It's in my opinion, it's not worth trying to sell everything to everyone. So just another note to keep in mind. So these are just some of the things I want to share. And we're going to talk about Instagram. And I think I'm going to... Let me check my notes here. All right, I'm gonna wrap this one up here and then come back. Okay, this episode's gonna be about the workflow I use to create the content. All right, so basically it comes down to this. Usually when I get on the bus, I'll take the bus for about an hour, 30 minutes, depending on where I'm going. And I'll think about what are some things I could share. You know, what are some things that could help business owners, marketers, people that want to help business. And I'll put them into the notes app on the phone, just kind of some titles, you know, headlines, titles, whatever you want to call them, episodes. And then bring those in. And then once I have a few of those down, try to get a bunch of them, and then I will, once I get to the library or somewhere quiet, I'll sit down with a legal pad and do the outlines for the different headlines or titles that I think that might help help people trying to help business owners. And then I grab my phone and I pull out the Anchor app. And then I just kind of record the outline, which is exactly what I'm doing right now. Record about it, and then sit here looking at my notes on what I'm going to talk about. And the reason I do this is because writing's not my strong point, so talking sometimes is. And so it just makes it easier, more natural, more doable to get these ideas out. If I just record them, then if I sat down in front of a computer for hours trying to write them, it just doesn't end up working for me. So then the next step is get it transcribed. I will get the audio file out to someone on Fiverr or Rev.com. I could put some links in the notes here on some services that can be used where someone could go ahead and get the audio and then make it text for you. And then I'll get the text back in a Word document, and then I could make notes on it and then see what assets I might need, because the idea is I want to turn this into other pieces of content. So I start looking at some of the important notes that I want to make there, or points I'm trying to make. And then I get an editor on another website like Fiverr or what's it called now? It used to be called Odesk. Now it's called, I can't remember right now, but let's just say Fiverr for now. Or go find someone that's an editor, and then they're gonna get my notes with the transcripts, and then they help me write it out to a readable format for text, and then I come up with some graphics that I want to do, maybe some example for some information, some like infographs or an illustration to make a point. Or I get the images that I got and, you know, have the graphic designer brand them for me so that we could turn them into content for YouTube thumbnails, Facebook posts, Instagram posts, graphics for the website, and the graphics for the Facebook group. And that's kind of, it all gets broken out of this original recording. And then, Belly post, and then after we have all this, this is where we start making the landing pages and value, like videos. Make some videos out of some clips, where maybe we give one quick strategy on a topic, like doing some Instagram research or showing how to do an ad, just something not too long. Or and then from these we could also make those posts I was talking about where it helps people do something, and then we turn those into an ad that's going to go to the landing pages. And then the point is to build up the email list and to get people into the Facebook group. So this is kind of the thinking, logic, workflow, whatever you want to call it, to get the content out. This is just what works for me. A video would probably be good also, but I don't like making video because I get more weird about it, because you're in front of a camera and you get 10 times more nervous. It's pretty weird just to do the audio, but you know what? It's what comes most natural to me. So that's the one I'm doing right now. So you know, just kind of wanted to share how I'm making some of this content, how it's getting out there. Another thing I want to mention is I'm trying to batch at least 5 when I do this. So get 5 of those ideas out into audio form and then get it all spun up through the exact process I was talking about. Right now I have 3 down, so I have 2 more to go on the different topics I'm working on today. Today is the first Monday of June 2018, and I'm doing this at the CSUN library because it is summertime and it is empty here, and it's easy to get a room and just have a quiet place where I could work. And sometimes, you know, what I want to talk about, there's a book I read, what's it called? It's called Deep Work by Cal Newport, and it talks about how sometimes we're always getting distracted and we don't really ever sit down to be able to focus and have deep thoughts and figure things out. And so he talks about 5 different, I think it was 5 different strategies that some people have used. And there was one in there that caught my attention, and I've actually used it, and it's worked for me before. He talks about one by J.K. Rowling has used it, where she'll check herself into a hotel far away from her house, and it's like a very nice, expensive hotel, and she could actually afford it. Not all of us could, so that's why I'm at a free library. But it's far enough from my house that I won't like just leave willy-nilly, you know, just I'm out of here, whatever, I don't feel like working. So it kind of forces you to commit a little more. So it's called the strategy the grand gesture. There was someone else in the book, I can't remember his name, but he'll actually get on the flight. I think he's in Los Angeles or New York, but he'll take a flight all the way to Japan, get a lot of writing done on the airplane, because that's where he could focus. But You know, this is where he could come up with his thoughts, get them down, and that's what works for him. So that's kind of the strategy that I'm using is, you know, went somewhere far, and I'm doing the thing where audio is easiest for me, getting this recorded, and then it's gonna send it off to get transcribed, and then make content out of it in order to be able to help marketers and business owners in any way that I can, you know, get some of what I've learned and seen and, you know, just been checking out and experimenting with, and, you know, put it on a in an easy form to look at, just from the reverse engineering that I'm doing, the strategy that I learned selling on Amazon and going backwards, all like that, but now here on Instagram or Facebook or different things. So just getting some information out here. You know, that book is called Deep Work, and I think it's by Cal Newport. I'll put his information in the description here on the notes. You know, really good book to read. Definitely recommend it. So, all right, gonna close this one out, and thanks for listening. All right, so in the previous segment, we were talking about data, experience, platform, complexity, different things like that, and I wanted to kind of bring it all together a little bit more with Instagram, and the same process I was talking about on Amazon that I was able to learn selling on there. I was actually able to do about $100,000 on that my first year just by selling candy. I mean, that wasn't really like a lot of money because Amazon ate so much of it in fees, but that's how you learn. That's something I learned, and I kind of want to bring it over to what I'm trying to learn right now with Instagram. Instagram's like one of the hottest platforms right now around, growing as far as social media. Everyone's trying to get to those 10,000 followers so they could get that nice swipe up feature in their accounts. And I've been seeing some accounts that are pulling that off, and I've seen an account do it in 8 days. I've seen some do it in under 30. But there's some crazy strategies that they're using behind there. I've seen other accounts that have grown to about 500,000 in under 8 months. That was a beauty account by Alex Wilkie. That's Beauty Basics. You know, I've learned a lot from him, so just want to share some of the things I've been seeing and trying to use the same process of learning the platform, know your numbers, know why the people are engaging or responding to the accounts, either your own or someone else's, and then use that to backwards engineer building your own account. So I just kind of want to talk about the opportunity of Instagram. People just, you know, from things I've been reading from a lot of Instagram experts and things I've been seeing from them, and people are very engaged there, and it's actually growing at about a rate of 19% right now, which is the second most, I think, in the younger demographic, which has like the 24-year-olds. Snapchat's growing a little bit faster, but Instagram is also growing very fast, and so I just want to talk about why and how they're doing it and how it could be used for different businesses. And you don't need to have a big following in order to make some money or bring new clients to your business off of it. So you know you don't have to be like, oh, I need the next $100,000 follower account, because you don't have to. But you could be the best account in your thing for your area, and that's the power of understanding this platform. So some of the basics on Instagram, one of the first things that needs to you need to learn is the hashtag research and account setting up your account. So I'm gonna do this series on these parts. So I'm not sure what order I'm going to cover them in, but here are the parts that are that are needed for an Instagram account. You need to position your account. Like, you know, what are you about? What do you talk about? What's your value? What are you bringing to the table? Why do people need to spend time looking at your account? So that's gonna be the way you're gonna want to frame. Okay, so we'll get that in the next episode. So that's setting up your account, for positioning it. And then we need to cover research, the research involved. Where do you look? What tools are available to do your research, to see what other people are doing and why it's working, and how to really dive in to strategy on how they're using it, how they're setting them up and using them as a whole. What things work for what industries and what things don't work for different ones. And I'm probably gonna stick in to real estate and candy, because that's kind of what I understand. I actually work with realtors to get them buyer leads right now, and so, you know, if we could get a real estate account going for an Instagram and get, you know, some local influence with that, it's kind of what I want to try to do. And show, and just use that as some example here. And then the other thing definitely need to be looking at is the hashtag research. Hashtags are what index and organize the entire platform of Instagram. And so, you know, how do you research those? What's the logic behind it? How do you pick the ones, the hashtags that are right for your account? Because not all accounts, you know, use the same hashtags. And even if you're in the same space niche, you would still use different hashtags based on the size of your account and the engagement stage that you're at. So I'll do an episode talking about all that, everything about doing that hashtag research and what the strategy is for that. And then another part that needs to be looked at is your post, the actual content. There's different types of content you could post. So you have the stories, which those are like, you know, the quick videos that people watch, and that's actually very important because that's where most people are spending their time on Instagram. And then you have the highlights, which sit on your profile, where people, they're just there kind of permanent at the top. So there's a strategy to using those. And then you have the actual post. You know, do you use video? Do you use the image? Are you gonna do quotes? Could you do infographics? How are all these different tools used? And how often do you need to post in order to rank, or just, you know, get to a level where your competitors might be? Or so that's gonna be a whole other section there. So that's gonna be the content thing. And then we're gonna do one on tools that you could use, automation, and what things you can and can't automate, because there are some things that the algorithm does not like and you do not want to use because it will hurt your account, and it's been proven. And we'll talk about, you know, maybe there's some things you can do and won't hurt, you know, or things you could use to make your life easier, but maybe you're not completely automated, just kind of half automating just enough not to anger the Instagram algorithm. And then we're going to do another episode talking about the algorithm. You know, what are the things it kind of looks for? Nobody really knows exactly how it works, but there's some clues that we do have on it. And so we're going to cover those. Look at what's going on, how Instagram prioritizes what you see and how, and, you know, some of the logic behind that. So definitely gonna do one on that. And let me check my notes. And then we'll do another episode on things you shouldn't do, and that'll probably include some of those automation things you shouldn't do. But there's a set of things you probably want to avoid. So actually, I'm going to set up that episode right here. Things not to do. Start out. Just make a page here. Things not to do. Okay. And then there's going to be another episode where we're going to cover your call to action and how to get micro commitments, or you know, just getting people to start saying yes to you in small ways so that down the line you could ask them for bigger things. And then this starts getting into the whole monetization of your account. You know, we make these accounts so that we could help people in bigger ways. You know, that this is how they find us, but you know, we want to be able to do more for them and help them in other ways. And then I'll do one, and then we'll do one on some case studies. Let's add that to the series. Case studies on some accounts, how they've grown and what they've done. All right. So I'm going to close this one out and start these episodes. All right. So this is about doing your bio and positioning your account. Bio and positioning is actually a very important topic, probably right up there with research. But so setting up your bio, here's what you want to do from what I've been looking at accounts that are growing. Want to keep it to 4 lines on your bio, because if you have any more than 4 lines and someone comes to your page, they won't even be able to see your first row of images. And if they can't see that, they get confused on what you're about, because people will still refer to the images to see what your account is about. Yeah, they're gonna read your bio. And a good format for your bio is you wanna say what you're about, what you're doing now, what your thing is. And then that's, so you could do that for your first line. Your next line, you could do, you know, who you are. And then on your third line, you could put, what have you achieved? You know, what are something that you're proud of? And remember, keeping it within the space that you're about. And then in your highlights, you know, you could put in just some story that is gonna be about what you've been doing, what you've been up to, some tips maybe in there. Definitely want to use that, because since you have it as space right there on the front of your page. And the whole goal of all this is to get profile views more than anything, because you'll be able to figure out that a specific percentage will, of the number of people that land on your account, which is what Instagram calls a profile view, will end up following you. And once you have things set up and you're able to get these profile views, you'll have the math to be able to work with and be able to forecast your account growth and run all your numbers off that, and you'll have more consistency and clarity on how you're able to use your Instagram account. So there's a few types of accounts. There's an authority account where you're kind of the go-to thing, service in that space. You know, providing value on, you know, say makeup tips or something, and that's what you're gonna be about. You could be a person, just a person that's just like a personal brand type of account, just all about you and providing the value about that, the thing you're in. And you could even mix up the authority and personal. That's one that works. Or you could be a repost account. But all these decisions are made when you start defining what your account's going to be about, when you do your market research. And, you know, do you want to put your face on the account? Do you not want to put your face on the account? And even on the authority accounts where the face is not on the profile, you still want to end up using your face in the stories. And for your profile images, you definitely want to have a face, because people's favorite topic is other humans, believe it or not. It's what we love. People will engage a lot more with a human face account than an account with just some logo on it. It's just the truth. But you know, these are the decisions you make when you're setting up your account. And then another point, let's talk about the LinkedIn bio. Your LinkedIn bio is going to be your call to action. You know, not always a good idea to ask people to buy something here, because you guys just met each other. Hold on, guys. You know, buy her a drink first or something. You know, that's kind of the same dating type of logic goes into some of the stuff here as well. So in your LinkedIn bio, you could offer something for free, like an ebook to join maybe a Facebook group, or download a case study, maybe a video that's gonna show someone how to do something. Maybe just ask for an email or something. You know, don't make it something huge, because that turns people off. And another thing to keep in mind is, there are some domains or websites you don't want to use in your LinkedIn bio, because Instagram has been flagging them as spammy and not providing value to the platform. So some of these things include, like, say, Linktree or Bitly for your links. They're nice link shorteners and make it convenient, but Instagram identifies them as kind of spam and not good. So it does, it makes your account be shown less by the algorithm to people into their explore tabs. So you don't want to do that. So if you can, get your own domain, your own .com, into your LinkedIn bio, in order to not affect your reach. But yeah, there's some of the, I'll put a note of, you know, just some examples of some good, clear profiles on how to set them up, what they should kind of look like, what helps, what doesn't help, the good ones, the bad ones, to see what some of the best practices are for, and what's working for people, and, you know, show them backing up with some data there. So I'll put those in some screenshots and put some of the things I've done, and, you know, just keep updating these. All right, this is framing up your account in your bio. Use emojis, yay. All right, close this one. All right, so this episode is gonna be about Instagram market research. You know, who are your competitors? What are you up against too? But before you even do that, you need to know exactly what your account is gonna be about. So, you know, can't be scatterbrained. I've learned this one the hard way myself already. I've tried, you know, just on my personal account doing different things. It doesn't work. People don't care for scatterbrain. They want it to be very focused. Instagram could be seen a lot like a magazine. You know, if you've ever gone to Barnes & Noble, it doesn't exist anymore, does it? Oh, yeah, it does exist. Borders is the one that doesn't exist anymore. You go to their magazine section, there's a magazine on cooking, there's a magazine on cars, there's a magazine on sci-fi, anime, and then these magazines even break down into, say, vegan cooking, Mexican cooking, Mexican cooking of Puebla, or it gets very niche, it gets down to a specific thing. So that's going to be, for some people, it's actually the hardest part. Definitely was for me. And I have one account that's for candy stuff, just because that's kind of what I did have a background in. And I think I've had different accounts, but know exactly, very specifically, what your account's going to be at, and be able to identify who has the audience that you want. So if you're a real estate agent or a fitness coach, you know, identify that fitness coach or person that has the people you have. So say you're going to be the fitness coach. There's different types of fitness. There's some that probably just fitness for women, working on their abs. So that's how specific you could get down on Instagram for what you're going to be about, because the human brain is lazy. We don't like to burn calories, and thinking makes you burn calories. So the easier it is to understand what your account is, the higher chance that the person's going to follow you. And more important, that the right person's going to follow you. Because great, say you do a giveaway or something, give away an iPad, great, everyone follows you, but would you want them, why would you want them as a follower if all they cared about was the iPad? It's useless. So you give away something, maybe on burning belly fat, some tool or thing, a program, I don't know, something like that. Now you at least know you're talking to the right person, so you can make the right offers to the right audience on your Instagram account. So this is why this is going to be such an important part of your Instagram research. And the research part is honestly the most important part. The most important part. Do not mess this one up. Do not try to skip it. It is the most important. So first thing, identify what you're up against. Who's your competitor? Who has your audience? And don't see it as a winner take all. You know, there could be a million different accounts. There could be other accounts that talk about what you want to talk about, and that's not a reason not to start your own account. So don't look at it as the end if there's already too many, because then you could still do your own remix of what it is, you know, just exactly like a DJ does. You know, there's a million versions of the same song and people still like them, and there's still enough of an audience and market for those remixes. Okay, so something to think about. You don't need the biggest following in order to monetize your account. And that's another thing in defining your account. Do you intend to monetize it? Is it just for a hobby for you? Is it just to build an audience? You know, what exactly is your end goal? What's your intent? Identify that. Know where you're going. Know why you're going there. What you're gonna ask them to do at the beginning. Do you want them to just give you their email or sell them some tiny book? Or do you want them to buy a house? You know, how big is the thing you want to ask them to do? Definitely want to go with something small, but you know, just know your goals here. All right, so then there's a way where you're gonna go into Instagram, and this, you're gonna do this right inside the Instagram app, and you're going to find that person that has the audience you want already, right? You want to look at, document 100 accounts of your competition. Let's say 50 to 100 is fine. And you're gonna get them on a spreadsheet. I'll put a spreadsheet in the notes on how to set this up to do your market research. And you're gonna want to get the let's just say 50 to 100. Get their handles and put them in one column. You're gonna call that handles. And then so say, of course, you're not gonna know a 50 right off the top of your head, but you start with the one you know. And then on Instagram, you're gonna go, say you hit the follow button, and then off to the right there's like a little button that could say, it has like a little arrow, and if you unfollow, the arrow will let you, it'll suggest similar accounts to you, and then you start looking at those. And then when those max out, as you got all the suggestions it would give you, you wrote down those handles, you go and look through the handles inside of the other accounts as suggestions until you get around 50 of these, 50 to 100. You're gonna put these into a spreadsheet. And then next thing you want to do is you're gonna document what types of posts are they doing. Are they doing videos? Are they doing images? And then you're gonna make another column where you're gonna look at what hashtags they're using specifically. And then here we go again. We're gonna make a list of hashtags, but we're gonna do that on a separate spreadsheet. We'll talk, but that is, you know, just, we'll do that one on a separate spreadsheet. But then on their profiles, you wanna look, do they have, make a column, do they have a call to action, do they have a link in their bio, okay? And then you wanna say yes or no. And then you also wanna see if they're in engagement groups. You look at their account, and then you go see who's liking their pictures. Is it the same big accounts all the time. If big accounts are liking big accounts, they're usually in an engagement group. So you do that by going into the comments, click, tapping on the people that are liking and commenting, and you're gonna start looking for patterns in there. And if you see that it looks like they're getting likes from other big accounts, that's probably because they're in engagement groups. And then you're going to want to see how often they're posting. You look at the post. How many did they post over the last 24 hours? How many did they post over the last week? And you're going to document how many posts they're doing. So say once a week, four times a day. So that you're going to make that into, put that into a column, say called it frequency. And I'm gonna put this all in the notes, because this is part of the market research. You need to know this. Just like if you're gonna build a business somewhere, you would want to know what are the businesses around you going to be, what are they selling, what are they not selling, who's their customer. This is exact same thing. You're doing this here inside the Instagram app. So then we're gonna look at the types of posts. So we said videos and photos already, but then you could put some notes on, are they doing infographics? Are they doing quotes? Are they doing engagement posts where they're telling the audience, hey, what do you think of this? Or A or B or something like that, that gets the people going. You wanna make a note of that. Or are they just posting lifestyle images with the product? Put your notes on what types of things are they posting on their account, and you're going to find out what's working and what's not working. And then you're going to want to document their average number of likes and comments. So you're going to go through, you're going to check out their, go scroll down through their feed a little, and then you're going to see, okay, just look at a few posts and go, okay, they're getting about, say, 20 likes and 2 comments. So you write that down as an average. You know, it's some easy math that you just kind of could figure out, and you're going to make a column for that inside of your spreadsheet that I'm going to give you also. Because this matters, because this is how you're going to come up with the content that you're going to post. And then next we're going to do their best performing post. And say the math is what's going to give us this information. Say if they're averaging 20 likes on a post, but then there's one that say it has like 100 or one that has 50, you're going to document these as the best performing post. So you're going to say, okay, when they get 50 likes or 100, you're going to write this in. These are like their strong ones. And then you even want to save some of these. There's a tool you could use to save them and gather them up, because, you know, if it worked for them, it's going to work for you. You're talking to the same audience. So definitely want to save those images and make your own version, or repost exactly what already worked for them. And, you know, just make sure to give them credit, or whoever owns it, give credit. Or, like I said, go ahead and get that type of post redone for you, for your account. You use it, it's gonna work. I mean, you're talking to the same market. So that's gonna be in the spreadsheet. And so that's kind of analyzing the market of another column we need is how many followers they have. How big is the account? How many followers do they have? So definitely want to document that as well. And all right, so this is going to be Instagram market research. One last thing is you want to document the contact information for these accounts also. Sometimes they'll see to just DM, sometimes they'll put in an email, sometimes they'll put a WhatsApp or a KIK phone number to get in contact with the owner of the account. So want to document that as well, so that you guys could get into contact and work with each other as well. All right, and that's also going to be in the spreadsheet. All right, closing this one.